السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. نحمدہ ونصلی علی رسولہ الکریم، اما بعد، بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. وی آر ڈسکسنگ دا فائیو کوالٹیز آف اے گڈ وائف، اے پائیس وائف، وچ نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم ہیز اسٹیپولیٹڈ. دا فرسٹ ون وی ہیڈ ڈسکسڈ واز ٹوٹل اوبیڈینس ٹو دا ہزبینڈ، اوبویسلی ان تھنگز دیٹ اسلام اینڈ شریعہ پرمٹس. سیکنڈ کوالٹی از دیٹ وین دا ہزبینڈ لکس ایٹ ہز وائف، ہی از پلیزڈ. Right? He is pleased when he looks at her, and I explained all that to you in the last period. Now we move on to the third quality. The third quality of a pious wife that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam described is that she fulfills her husband's oath when he swears an oath that she should do something within the bounds of Sharia. Example, he says on oath that she should visit his mother. He tells his wife, he says, look, I want you to visit my mother. Now the wife mustn't become stubborn. No, I'm not going there. I don't need to go there. Or he tells his wife that, look, I want you to perform tahajjud salah on a certain day. We got a certain problem. Let the both of us wake up for tahajjud and make dua to Allah Pak. Right? So the wife, she mustn't turn around and say, no, to read tahajjud is nafal. Who are you to make it faraz on me? I need to sleep at that time. Don't you know I got to look after the baby, this, that. No. She must agree with the husband. No, that's what you want me to do? I will do it. You're taking an oath that I must do that? I will help you to fulfill that oath. When this happens, she should do her best to ensure that she does exactly as he swore that she should. I take an oath that you must visit my mother. So now she must fulfill that oath. She must assist her husband in fulfilling that oath. Of course, she should do this only when the act is permissible. Always remember there. Keep on reiterating, right? That only if it is permissible. If it is impermissible, then remember there is no obedience to any creation in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Such a situation usually arises because of the husband's love for his wife, or because he takes pride in something that she does. He will therefore take an oath that she does it so that he may see it happen, or so that another may see it happen. There is a certain thing that he loves to see. He wants to see his wife doing that. So he is taking that oath to drive her to do it because it pleases him, not because he wants to make her life a misery. Right? It may also occur that he makes the wife take an oath that she will do as he says. When a wife has true feelings for her husband, she will do anything he wants her to do, especially when an oath is involved. Right? In today's times, say for example, the wife is keep sitting on a BB. Right? The wife is keep sitting on a, and it's becoming a major issue. Becoming a major problem. You girls also be very, very disciplined. When it comes to this WhatsApp, BB, all these social networks, be disciplined. There's a time and place for everything. Not every moment you're on that phone. Everything you do, you're changing your BB status. This is not right. I mean, you know, you take these celebrities, right? These celebrities, they are so fed up. They are so fed up. Why? Because they got no privacy left in their lives. Wherever they go, the paparazzi is behind them. Right? Wherever they go, some journalist is there. If they just go down the road to buy milk and bread, somebody takes a photo of them, puts it in a magazine. Anything they do becomes public knowledge. Right? They are so fed up that sometimes, you know, they even disguise themselves. Sometimes they try and go away to remote areas so that nobody knows they're there. Secretly, they try and go away somewhere. But somehow or the other, this paparazzi, they come to find out. Right? And sometimes, they even end up in fisticuffs with those journalists. They end up even having a fist fight. Because they're trying to, they didn't want to be photographed in a certain way, certain manner. And these people have photographed them. Now they want to take that camera away or break the camera. So many times you hear of incidents of that nature with these celebrities. Right? Now, everybody wants privacy. They want privacy. And with this BlackBerry and things, what are we doing? Huh? We are making our lives like public knowledge for everybody. What are we feeling, left out or something? We're feeling left out that now everybody else needs to know what I'm doing. No, our life is our life with our husband, our children. Why we need the whole world to know what we're doing, where we're going, what we're eating, what we're talking, what we're dressing, what emotions I'm going through? Why must the whole world know all that? Talk to Allah, tell Allah what all the people are going to do. So if the husband has to tell the wife, I want you to take an oath, right, that you are not going to touch this BB, or you are only going to use this BB 1 hour a day, you're only going to chat when it's necessary, then she must take the oath, and she must fulfill the oath. She must fulfill the oath. What type of relationship this is, that the lady is prepared to lose her husband, right, or prepared to displease her husband, but she has to keep her BB going. It's insanity. So according to the Sharia, it is normally not binding on someone to fulfill an oath that another person takes. That's the fiqhi rule of Sharia. If I take an oath now, right, I take an oath and I tell you all, I'm taking an oath, right, that you people are going to come for madrasa tomorrow. Right. Now, it's not binding on y'all to fulfill that oath. Y'all never take the oath. I took the oath for y'all. So it's not binding on y'all to take the oath. But if the husband takes the oath on behalf of his wife, although it's not binding on her, but the love for her husband must be such that she will fulfill that oath even though it's not binding on her. That's the point. Although it's not binding on her, but she will fulfill it to please her husband. So that is the third quality of a good, pious Muslima wife. Now we come to the fourth quality. Whenever the husband leaves the home for some reason, and men normally have to do this, they've gone in Jamaat, they've gone to the Khanka, they've gone on a business trip, they've gone for some work, whatever. Sometimes they're gone for 1 week, sometimes they're gone for 2 weeks. Sometimes those who go out in Jamaat, 40 days they're gone, 4 months they're gone. Right? So when the husband is gone from the house for some reason, it is the duty of the wife to safeguard her chastity. Number one, she must safeguard her chastity. Right? Now generally, a good Muslima wife will not go and commit zina, the act of zina itself. But when the husband is not around, now she gets a little bit lax. Right? Now she starts talking to the brother-in-laws. Now she talks to her male cousins. All that is not safeguarding her chastity. It is not safeguarding her chastity. When her husband is not around, she must be even more on guard. She must take even more precaution. When her husband is around, she can be a little bit lax. Why? Because the husband is there. The husband is there. Nobody will take a chance with her because her husband is there. But when the husband is not around, that is when now the wolves' eyes will all be looking. When can they attack? Because the husband is not around. So when the husband is not around, the wife must take even more precaution. Even more precaution. Don't just leave the house, just going for drive here, going there, going here, shopping every now and again. No. No honorable man. So okay, one was she must protect her chastity. Number two, she must protect his wealth. Just as she would do when he is present with her. That he normally gives her a budget for the house, gives her a budget for the children, etc. So how when he is around, she uses that budget, everything according to his instructions. Right? Because she knows now, if she doesn't, he's going to question her because he's around. So in the same way, when he's not around, she must still use that budget according to his instructions. Right? And she must try and save. She must be thrifty. She must use also. She mustn't be mingy. If the children need something, she needs something. But she mustn't be extravagant. She mustn't say now, oh, he gave me that amount there for food and for the this and that. Hey, but I want that shoe, man. Hey, that shoe, every time I want to buy that shoe, but he's around, I can't buy it. Now he's not around, I'm going to take the money and go buy it. So that will be khiyanat. He didn't give her the money for that. Yes, if he gave her personal money for herself from her allowance, and then she wants to use her allowance money to go buy that shoe, that's her choice, she can do it. But the money what he has given her for milk and bread, to pay the rent, lights, water, telephone, maybe some money is owed to some builder, some electrician, plumber, whatever. Then he has given her some money and told her, look, this money you keep it aside. In case there's a problem, maybe the geyser busts while I'm not around. Maybe you need to go to the doctor while I'm not around. Maybe there's a problem with the motor car. Maybe there's a problem with the gutter. Maybe you need to call electrician, plumber, whatever. So this money you keep it aside and use it. You know, they say use it for a rainy day. So keep it aside for a rainy day. Now she thinks to herself, hey, where are we going to get rainy days now? Everything is working properly. Let's go have a party with this money, man. Let's go buy a new dress with this money. So that will be khiyanat. So just like how she will look after her husband's money when he is around, she must look after it when he is not around. Right? No honorable man would want his wife to be in the company of a non-mahram man, or that she must even make eye contact with such a man. He wants his wife exclusively for himself. Right? So the lady must be very, very careful when her husband is not around. As I said to you, even brother-in-laws, cousins, shopkeepers, doctor, even if you have to go to the doctor, you have to go to the doctor while your husband is not around. Go with your father if it's possible. Go with your grandfather. Right? If that's not possible, take your mother and go. Take your granny and go. Take your elder sister and go. Go with somebody so that there's no fear of any fitna. When a woman marries, she becomes the focal point of his life, and it is with her that he will satisfy himself and find solace. She holds this fundamental position in his life when he is with her, as well as when he is not. In addition to this, he also entrusts her with his wealth and possessions when he leaves the home. She should therefore safeguard his possessions when he is not at home. Right? She should never waste his money or spend on others without his permission. Should she fail to take care of her chastity or his wealth, she will be guilty of breaching a trust. She should ask her husband for only those things without which some harm may come to them. Obviously, if she's not going to buy milk and bread, what are they going to eat in the house? If she's not going to pay the lights, water and rent, they'll get thrown out of the home or they'll be living in darkness. So harm will come to them. So for those things, she must ask the husband for the money for those things, and she must use it for those necessities. Never should a wife insist that her husband buys her something merely because someone else has it. But they got like that. They got Gebaret toilet flush in their house, so we need in our house. No. What your husband can afford in your house, he will do that. And you must be content with that. He may not be able to take you overseas for holiday. Right? You must be content. That's your husband. Allah Pak chose him for you. You can't look at other people. Oh, but my sister's husband takes her. Why you can't take me? You know, he bought her. Every year he buys her a piece of jewelry. Why you can't buy for me? Irrespective of how attractive something may be, she should not ask for it if it is not necessary. a vase? Is a vase a necessity? It's not not a necessity. So even though it's so beautiful and she's thinking in her mind, hey, this will go so well in the lounge, so nice it will look in that corner there, and I'll put that color flowers in it. She mustn't ask. She mustn't ask because it is not a necessity. Yes, if she's running short of potatoes, onions, tomatoes, then she must ask the husband. Now it's a different situation. If the husband offers her, husband says, hey, you know what, man, this vase, we think we should buy this vase for the house. It will look nice there in that corner. We put some nice fresh flowers in there, plant some fern or something. It will make zikr in the house also. We think we put the vase there. Now if she wants it and she knows the husband can afford it, she can say, yeah, I think it will look nice. It will be nice if we can have it. Right? But initially, she mustn't demand for it. She mustn't demand. She mustn't demand. By unnecessarily burdening the husband with such demands, she is guilty of extravagance as well as misappropriation of trust. Allah Ta'ala also describes a pious woman in the Quran Sharif when he says, in Surah An-Nisa, so the pious women are obedient, and in the absence of their husbands are protective because of that which Allah has protected. Protecting her husband's home means that a woman should first ensure that she does not commit any sins. Therefore, thereafter she should ensure that his wealth and other possessions do not fall into the wrong hands. In another hadith sharif, Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes it clear that a woman is a guardian over her husband's home. It is therefore clear that safeguarding her husband's wealth and possessions is not only a necessary quality of a good wife, but it is actually her duty. It is her duty to do this. Right? A wife should be genuinely concerned about her husband's wealth. Not only concerned about how to spend his wealth, she must be concerned about the well-being of his wealth. Hakimul Ummat, Mawlana Shafi Ali Sahib Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, has mentioned in his advices that a wife's heart should pain when her husband's wealth is spent wastefully. When the husband's wealth is spent wastefully, her heart should pain. It is her responsibility to be concerned about his wealth. She must never be liberal with his money or allow the servants to do as they please with it. The children just wasting things. Their school bag, they're just breaking. Pencils and pens, they're just losing. Crayons, no, must buy another one. The children need this, the children need that. No, the mother must discipline them. Hey, money don't grow on trees. Do you know how many tens make 100? You know how hard your father is working to get this money? Make qadr. Not now every meal is an extravagant meal. We can't eat that. No, we have to eat this. We don't like that. We want this. Whenever the desire creeps into one's heart to have something that another has, one should think about the following. Death and the thought of what the less fortunate ones have in this world. The less fortunate one has in this world, the less will one be accountable in the hereafter. The more one has in one's home, the more one will have to account for. If you got a small home, you just got the necessities in the house, everything in the house that is there is being used, right? Then you got nothing to answer for in the day of Qiyamah. Right? But now you got one big palatial home with half a dozen vases there, with chandeliers and this and that. Now, on the day of Qiyamah, Allah Pak will ask, what was the necessity for the chandelier? Normal lights couldn't have done the job. What was the necessity for the decoration there? Could the wall just being plain couldn't have done the job? Why you needed that decoration on top of it? Then what answer are we going to give? In this world we have to be simple. Imagine Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. She just puts up like a smart curtain type of a thing in the house. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes there. He looks at it and he walks out. He walks out. He didn't want any decoration, anything extravagant or anything extra, because he was teaching us. He was teaching us. Don't be extravagant. Be simple. Make do with the basics. Make do with what is necessary. The extra wealth we have, give it in charities. Don't just keep wasting on ourselves. We got a little extra money? No, I need to do this in the house. We got a little bit extra money? No, I need to do that in the house. Ask ourselves, if I don't do that, can I live without it? If I can live without it, stay without it. I don't have to have it. Yes, now if it is something, for example, now the iron broke. Right. Now we can't do without an iron. We have to buy another iron. So now go buy an iron. And if you are a wealthy person, go buy a very good quality iron. No problem. Right. If you're not so wealthy, you medium class, go buy a medium quality what you can afford. You're a poor person, go buy the normal steam iron, cheap one. Whatever you can afford. But it's a necessity, it needs to be replaced. But we don't have to now go buy things that we don't need just because it's available. Go and buy things that we don't need. The more we're going to have in our homes, the more we will have to answer for on the day of Qiyamah. The simplicity of the homes of Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, Ma Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, Ma Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha, Ma Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, the more one's home resembles the homes of these illustrious ladies radiallahu ta'ala anhunna ajma'in, the closer one will be to them in the hereafter. They didn't have palatial homes. They didn't have so many different gadgets and so many different things all in the house. Ornaments and vases and all these. They never have all this in their homes. By keeping these thoughts in one's mind, one will welcome death, because the love for the material things of this world will not have permeated one's heart. Seeing the simplicity of one's home, others will also follow suit, and the money saved can be invested for the hereafter. We have not come into this world to amass wealth and possessions. We have come to carry out deeds that please Allah Ta'ala. The simpler we keep our homes, the more Allah Ta'ala shall love us. If we donate our excess possessions to the poor, they will benefit tremendously, while we will lose nothing. In fact, nearly every household has things in almost every room that are in excess of their needs. Go through our homes and see how many things we got, we hardly ever use it. But we just want it there because it looks smart. It fills the space. You know, I've got one friend. Now, you know, sometimes during the year you accumulate things, right? People come, they give you gifts, right? You went to the shop, you bought something, whatever. You accumulate things. So this friend of mine, his wife, every year she takes a stock of all her possessions in the kitchen. You know, all the Tupperwares and the different small things that we have in the kitchen. So she takes a stock and she says, did I use this in the last few months? I never used it. So if I never used it, I don't really need it. She takes it out, she gives it away. Every couple of months she takes a stock. Because somebody gave you a present, somebody gave you something, somebody, or you bought something, you saw something somewhere, you bought it. Right? Now, she goes through her things in the kitchen, say, right, I don't need this, I don't need that, I don't need that. She makes a parcel of it and she gives it away. Now what we do? No, I need more cupboards. Need more cupboards because I got more things. But some of those things we don't ever use. They're just lying there collecting dust, we don't ever use it. But we still want more catalogues, we still want to buy more things. Allahumma ahfazna min. Allah Pak protect us. Allah Pak remove the love of dunya from our hearts. Grant us simplicity and make us, you know, such that we make do with the essentials, the basics, the necessities of life. We can make do with those things. After that, if Allah Pak gives one or two extra things, we make shukr to Allah Pak, but we don't pine for those things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت
نستغفرك ونتوب إليه. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.